is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonantoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The countdown continues. We are 2 days away from the start of the NFL draft in Detroit. We are live in downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. This is the Lombardi Line, as always, presented by DraftKings. And as Michael Lombardi is making the cross-country flight from Jersey to Vegas, we are so fortunate to have Amber Theo Harris in the house with us in studio. Reporter, host, producer, Emmy Award winner, longtime NFL Network, now crushing it with the Raiders. So I know you have a busy week.
Yeah, well, thank you for reading the resume. I appreciate that. No, it's awesome to be here. I'm a big fan of what you guys do. I worked with Michael back at NFL Network.
Yes.
And so I was happy to get the invite and talk a little draft. I was here doing a Raiders show yesterday, and I'm on my way to Detroit right after this. So I'm looking forward to interviewing a couple of first rounders.
Yes.
And I feel like this is, we say this every year, like this draft, we don't know what's going to happen, especially from a betting standpoint. It's kind of cool to see the lines moving all over the place right now. But I really feel like there's so much talent at so many different positions that a lot of teams could go a lot of different ways, especially in the top 20, let's say, and they're not going to miss. I feel like the biggest chance to miss is quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the other teams that don't go quarterback in the first round are going to do very well because there's a lot of depth, defensive players, offensive linemen, especially cornerbacks when I talk about edge rushers.
Yeah.
So you could get a franchise type of player, generational player, at 20 in this draft, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah, you think about the offensive line depth. You didn't even mention wide receivers either.
Wide receiver, oh,
extremely talented position group in the draft as well. But I think that's a great point because everybody is talking about the quarterbacks right now, and they kind of dictate how things are going to play out the rest of the way throughout the course of the draft. And we were talking before we got on air. You are somebody who very firmly believes that these talent evaluators and scouts and general managers are very, very smart. You don't anticipate as much reaching as maybe those of us in the position that I'm sitting in right now and trying to bet some of these markets. You don't think that that's going to be as prevalent as the media has made it out to be.
I think every year the hype is much bigger than reality. So we always talk about the quarterbacks because it's fun for us in the media, right? That's what the fans want to talk about, especially the teams that don't have a franchise quarterback. They want to talk about the quarterbacks. So we give it to them. And it's fun to bet on these things, right? Because nobody knows what's going to happen. But in the end, from a football standpoint, these men and women that are talent evaluators, that are professional scouts, that are GMs, that are director of pro player personnel, they've been doing this a long time. And they are not going to reach for a quarterback or give up the farm to go up for a quarterback that they're not in love with, that they think that they could probably get if they stand pat in the mid to lower first round or even in the second round. I mean, some mock drafts have Bo Nix, Michael Penix Jr. going down into the second round. It's the Will Levis story of last year, right? I mean, we were just talking about it before the show. There was one point, and I still can't believe this after you guys told me this, that he was the favorite right before the draft to go number two overall, which was surprising. I know there was a lot of noise about CJ Stroud and his S2 test or whatever it was called, but the NFL invites him. He's there in Kansas City. He's waiting in the, and he drops and he drops and he drops and he drops. And he ended up essentially where he belonged because these scouts and these GMs have a question and they have to say, is this quarterback, let's say Michael Penix, J.J. McCarthy, what we call the second tier, Bo Nix, where are they ranked compared to our even second offensive lineman on the board or our second cornerback? And a lot of times they're way below those players. And so it doesn't make sense just because you need a quarterback to jump up and give up what could be 2 to 3 first round picks to go get somebody that you don't really believe in and pass on a generational player that could maybe anchor the left side of your offensive line or hold down your secondary or be an edge rusher that wreaks havoc on a quarterback driven league for 10 to 15 years to come. So I think in the end, this is my prediction that we are going to see some of these quarterbacks fall, maybe even into the second round. I don't think you'll see some of the teams that we think we call it quarterback alley, where you have the Broncos, the Vikings, Broncos and Raiders, 11, 12 and 13. You might not see them move a lot. They might be able to sit there and get their guy.
See, and that's so interesting. And to your point about where these players actually sit on the quote unquote big boards that these GMs have in their offices, like J.J. McCarthy for a lot of these mock draft and mock boards you see out there for like a Mel Kiper, whomever, J.J. McCarthy's like number 15 or number 16. So who's willing to take a guy who's number 15 just because he's a quarterback all the way at 3 or all the way at 4? It's a really interesting conversation to be had. And I think we can all largely agree that the draft starts at 2 here. Caleb Williams, minus 20,000 to be the number one overall pick.
Is so that a good bet? Is that a good one?
Amber, your $100 bet would win you back 50 cents.
Exactly.
So if that's what you feel comfortable throwing out there, do your thing.
I would love to find out if somebody actually took that bet in the entire world. And there's always somebody, but that's
ridiculous.
Crazy. Yeah.
Meanwhile, at number 2 overall, we've seen a lot of volatility in the market with Jaden Daniels specifically, because you look at last week even, he went from as high as minus 330 to as low as minus 115 before and after that Commanders visit, where they bring in all 4 quarterbacks, a massive 20 players. You have the agent on Twitter with the emoji face seeming to have a little bit of discontent with the way that that all went down, what have you. Then you have the, does Jaden Daniels even want to be a Washington Commander because he has such a great relationship with Antonio Pierce and he wants to be with the Las Vegas Raiders? So there's all this stuff. And then yesterday we see the market shift like crazy once again, and Jaden Daniels is a $4 favorite to be the number 2 overall selection.
But why? That's my question. And this is the funny thing about all these predictions is, has Jaden Daniels played another game
in, not
since
to my
January?
Knowledge.
Has he? I don't think he has, right? So what has changed so much? All it is rumor, speculation, and somebody like an Adam Schefter or a Daniel Jeremiah or a Ian Rappaport saying, I'm hearing this. And then, you know, the money comes in and the line moves and that's what happens, right? It's all speculation.
And it's not even, I'm sure this is going to happen.
No, this is what I'm hearing.
It's like off the cuff sometimes in passing these comments. If it's from Adam Schefter, it means something. So the markets move.
And I love Adam. You know, he's a great dude, big fan of his. But he's reporting what he's hearing from his contacts. And look, as a longtime NFL reporter, I don't always have my finger on the pulse of exactly what's going to happen. What I'm hearing is going to happen isn't what exactly happens. And also, this time of year, a lot of these GMs and agents use their contacts in the media to try to move the needle, to try to get the narrative out that they want. So sometimes you can get duped. I'm not saying that happened to Adam. I mean, he's one of the best in the business. But sometimes you can get duped, or they can be kind of feeding you a little bit of a fib to try to get you to report something that could move the needle the other way. So we have to remember that. Nobody knows for sure what Adam Peters is going to do at number 2. And I'm not so sure that it is Jaden Daniels. I mean, there's a lot of signs that point to Drake May. And I know I'm unpopular in this opinion, but you and I were talking about this. Why would you get rid of Sam Howell, a guy that started a bunch of games for you last year, at least prove that he can be a starter in the NFL? Why would you move him out of town before you even really know what your situation is at quarterback? And you're going to go just with Marcus Mariota as your backup. I think he's a guy that could come in and play a game or two, but he's not going to play, you know, 10 games if he had to, or start. And if this quarterback's not ready, of course, the number 2 pick is expected to start right away. So Drake May is his buddy, Sam Howell's buddy, 2 North Carolina guys. It would have been weird to bring Drake May in to replace Sam Howell.
One of his really, really good friends.
One of his really good friends. I mean, was he going to say, hey, like, do you want to share an apartment in Prince George's County? I mean, that would have been bizarre. So that's a telling sign that they got him out of town. That makes me think that maybe Drake May could go there. We're not really sure. So this Jaden Daniels is definitely going number 2 just because people think he's the second best quarterback in the draft. And I'm not sure why people necessarily think that. I know he's the Heisman Trophy winner, but this time last year, Drake May and Caleb Williams were the presumptive number 1, number 2. Mm-hmm. That was it. Now, both Caleb Williams and Drake May had not as good years their senior year as they did their junior years. And there was a lot of reasons for that. But why is it that Caleb Williams' stock stayed exactly the same and Drake May's stock went down a little bit in the sense that I say he could be number 3?
Right.
Right. That's where we have to pump our brakes with all of this and say, what do we actually know? What are some of the signs pointing to, rather than just he's the second best quarterback, he's going to go number 2? We don't know what Adam Peters wants to do there. We don't know what Kingsbury and all that. We don't know what they want to do. So,
and I think it's really hard to decipher too on our end, because a lot of the information that we are getting out of these people are, if a GM feels comfortable enough to tell you something, it's because he either trusts you not to tell anybody, or he's telling you something that is okay to tell everybody else, which probably isn't true.
Yeah, so, he wants you to put it out there.
Sure, like that's why this is all so smoke and mirrors, smoke screens, like all of this different stuff. It's really, really hard to decipher what's true, what's reality, and ultimately what's not. So Jaden Daniels right now is a $4 favorite, but we've seen even just in the last couple days how low that number has gone. Drake May was considered the favorite for such a long time. He's plus 330 right now to go number two overall. So bet $100, that wins you 330 versus having to bet 400 to win just 100 back. So
I like that.
Like that's,
I like that bet.
There's potential value there on something that could legitimately be a toss up that we really don't know. Mm-hmm. What about at number three overall in the New England Patriots, who apparently Elliot Wolf says that barring an unprecedented blockbuster offer, so please send me offers. I'm very curious. Otherwise, we're fine taking whatever quarterback's left.
I love that. And Joe Ortiz kind of said a similar thing at number five. Like, you have to give us a huge reason to move away from these guys.
Fair value doesn't matter.
Fair value is a wash to me. There's two things we need to think of. One is these are new GMs, right? These are kind of first time guys that are in the spotlight being interviewed by the media. And so they're putting these things out there. What are they supposed to say? Like, you know what? No, we're going to give you a really good deal. Like, come to us. We're going to give you a discount. We're going to give you a really good deal. Just send me your best offer and maybe I'll go with it. No, they've got to kind of pound their chest and have some bravado behind it and say, we want an unprecedented deal. What is an unprecedented deal? Oh, I think we have to take a break.
Yeah, hold that thought. We will revisit it, finish this conversation, as well as look at some of the exactas, because there's been a lot of talk of with these quarterbacks, could we make history and see them go 1, 2, 3, 4? If we do, does that mean that we could still get 5 later or not? So much still to dive into. We're just getting started here on the Lombardi Line. Stay with us.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament this past week all the way through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. We've got same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use our code VSIN, V-S-I-N. New customers that do can bet $5 and win $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code VSIN only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. 3 games in the NBA coming up tonight. The Timberwolves, 3-point home favorite in game 2 against the Suns. The Bucks, a slight favorite now against the Pacers after winning game 1 without Giannis. And the Clippers, a slight favorite against the Mavericks. So 3 fun ones coming up this evening. But we're going to talk more NFL here. Mm-hmm. And it's been all offensive players to start the show for us.
Yep.
And of course, quarterbacks are getting all the love. We know that this is a deep wide receiver draft. It's a deep offensive line draft. But don't sleep on some of these defensive players either, because there's a lot of talent that could end up being really, really like star stalwart players for franchises down the line.
That was a point that I brought up. I interviewed Tom Telesco, the GM of the Raiders, yesterday. And I said, I feel like a storyline nobody is talking about is the fact that if you resist the urge to trade up and go quarterback and do the big flashy thing, or if you pass on offensive lineman or receiver, you have an opportunity to get a difference maker as far as a defensive player. Because this year, with the draft being so offensively heavy, you're going to get players in the mid to low first round that in other drafts would be top 10 players, mm-hmm. defensive players that would go in the top 10. For example, if this was 2022, do you remember how defensively heavy it was? Kenny Pickett was the only quarterback that went in the first round. And so you had Trayvon Walker, Aiden Hutchinson, Sauce Gardner. They were all in the top 5 that year. So these players in the Dallas Turners, you know, the corners like Terrion Arnold and Quinyon Mitchell, they could, the Leatu Latu,
yeah.
They would go in the top 10, in my opinion, in other drafts that weren't so quarterback or offensive line heavy. So there's a big opportunity for teams that don't bite on offense. I could see a team like the Atlanta Falcons going with Dallas Turner, the edge rusher, because, look, they have Raheem Morris there. He's a defensive-minded coach. With Kirk Cousins there, that offense could be pretty loaded. Mm-hmm. You got Bijan Robinson. You have Drake London, Rondale Moore. You've got a lot of different pieces on offense. offense, but you're going to need to beef up your defense. So I could see in the top 10, we see a Dallas Turner out of Alabama. That's a heck of an edge rusher go. You also could see, and this is a big question mark, and this is a little tougher to bet on, is where Leiatu Latu is going to go. Because a lot would argue that he is the best edge rusher as far as upside, his motor, how it translates to the NFL. But because of the neck injury that almost retired him medically in his early days of Washington, that's a big question mark. But he's played 2 years at UCLA, and a lot of people equate him to a Max Crosby type of edge rusher. And who wouldn't like to have him? So we could see a team in the mid first round go for him or even higher. You know, they might like him better than Dallas Turner. I would like to see, you know, somebody that covers the Raiders. Cornerback help is a big need. The Raiders have struggled to draft corners in the first round historically. And Aquinion Mitchell out of Toledo has a lot of upside. A lot of people thought that he could have transferred to a Power Five conference, and he was loyal to Toledo and stayed and didn't take the NIL money. And I kind of like that from a from a character standpoint. So there's a big opportunity. Jared Verset, like you could have a million players that are going to go in the bottom of the first round that would normally be top 10 talent in other drafts.
So Dallas Turner, as of right now, is the only player who is an odds on like minus number to go in the top 10 as a defensive player. Leiatu Latu sitting right there, though, behind him at plus 145. And I love that you shared more of his story, because it is so unique that in 2020, he has this freak accident in the spring practice where he has a severe neck injury that did force him to medically retire for a time from Washington. Those doctors told him, you're
done. Can't do it.
He thought his career was completely over, had that spinal neck fusion surgery to get back on track, transfers to UCLA, and has been just a remarkable talent that people think that he could be the more talented between he and Dallas Turner. So is there a team that's going to take a chance on him sooner because they really do feel like that he is the more talented player? So it's just, what I think is so tricky is determining what these teams like when it comes to the medical for him, for a Michael Penix, for all these guys, what team is going to say the medical checks out for us and what team isn't?
And we don't know that. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to be honest. Nobody knows. And you can have multiple different team doctors take a look at the same player and have multiple different reports and outcomes of what they think. I look at the tape. For 2 years, he performed at an extremely high level at UCLA. And I wouldn't be afraid to take him. I would be afraid to take him if maybe there was just 1 year or he was coming off of that injury. I think 2 years is a good amount of time. You have to remember, do you remember Peyton Manning was done because of a neck injury? You know, he had neck surgery leaving the Indianapolis Colts. That's why they wanted to move on. And he goes to the Broncos and gets to the Super Bowl. You know, he had several more years left. So sometimes with these neck fusions, it's what neurologist you talk to, what neurosurgeon you talk to.
And I'm don't quote me on this, but I'm like 90%+ sure that Leiatu Latu had actually the same surgeon as Peyton Manning and Danielle Hunter.
Well, I'm not sure about that, but I know that his mom went on a tear to do the research to find other players that had similar situations. And it was her that kind of resurrected his career by finding the surgeon that was able to save. You know what? I'm going to interview these players as they come off the stage. I'm heading to Detroit right after this. He's one that I'm super excited about. You know what? He's actually represented by the same agent as Max Crosby. So the agent had an eye for talent that he's had success with Max Crosby. He's like, I want to sign this guy that I think could have a similar career path in the NFL. But his story, when he comes off that stage, I feel like that's going to be one of the more emotional ones, and I'm looking forward to it. But a huge opportunity for the real talent evaluators that are patient to get some top defensive talent. I think a team like the Raiders, what if they, we spoke about this hypothetically. Everybody says you need a quarterback to compete in the AFC West, right? You got to go blow for blow with Patrick Mahomes. And my argument is, do you? Because I remember on December 25th, when the Raiders gave us a blueprint of how to beat Patrick Mahomes. Patrick couldn't get anything going in that game, and the Raiders get the win purely on defense behind Antonio Pierce and that motivation. So if you've got Christian Wilkins, you get him in free agency on the defensive line. You got Max Crosby, Tyree Wilson, maybe playing on the interior as they did at the end of last year. Then you add a corner to the secondary. You've got a good young linebacker core. Why couldn't you go into these AFC West battles with one of the best defenses that we've seen in a couple of years and shut down Patrick Mahomes? Patrick Mahomes, by the way, and Travis Kelce did not have great years. They weren't performing at the level that they had in years past. It was the defense that carried that Chiefs team through and into the playoffs. And then we saw Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce really emerge mm-hmm. in the playoffs. But let's not forget, it wasn't like it was the top offense in the world. There's ways that you can beat them. And I think with a defense within the AFC West doubling down in this draft, you have an opportunity.
Yeah, if you can't go blow for blow offensively, then do what you can to slow him down. And I'm sure some people in that one game, though, against the Raiders will say, I'm sure that the Raiders would have liked it if Aiden O'Connell was able to throw the ball a little bit more in that game, too. There is the other side of that. Yeah. But I think that that's a great point, especially defensively with what they are building and Antonio Pierce now leading the way for the Raiders, that obviously that's going to be a huge priority for them to maintain and to build up and make better and better. The AFC West is a very, very interesting division. And I know that we're talking defense here and this is supposed to be our defensive segment, but because you bring up the quarterback of it all, I think that's why a lot of people are wondering what the Broncos are going to do in the draft here as well. When we talked about all those teams that could be trading up for a quarterback, the Broncos bring in Zach Wilson yesterday, but you still are going to need, like, Zach Wilson is not your answer, obviously. Yeah. He's just another auxiliary piece that you can bring in there for quarterback depth. So what do they do in the first round?
Yeah, they have Jared Stidham also in that quarterback room. I think what it does is it gives Sean Payton a little bit of insurance. I don't think it changes who he likes or doesn't like in the draft. What it might, and I'm not even going to say Zach Wilson has an influence on what they're going to do in the draft. It just adds some insurance. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I see the Broncos trading up and getting a J.J. McCarthy at number 5 or anything like that. I definitely don't see them trying to get up to a number 3 if Jaden Daniels starts to fall. People always talk about trading up. Nobody talks about trading down or just standing pat, because at number 11, there could be a really good, there could be J.J. McCarthy there. There could be a Michael Penix there. You're right ahead. They're at number 12. You would have to just maybe jump ahead of the Vikings. Because the Vikings, though, I think will already have gone up by that point. I really think the Vikings could go up into number 4 or 5 to get a quarterback. So then the Denver Broncos are ahead of the Raiders. If the Raiders maybe have gone up by that point, if Jaden Daniels is not available, I don't think the Raiders go up. So they're behind you. So I don't think they're going to have to jump up a lot to get who they want. And Sean Payton knows what he wants. He's a guy that has had found success before. And I don't see him getting cute or trying to let's wait and see what happens. Mm-hmm. Maybe, I'll see if I kind of like a guy. Maybe I'll give up the farm to go up. No, I think he already knows what he's going to mm-hmm. do. And I could see them just standing pat and getting a really good quarterback there at number 12.
So you do think that they would take a quarterback, though, at 12? Because I was even thinking, because you mentioned a Quinyon Mitchell defensively, yeah, still in that division, trying to beat Patrick Mahomes. If that's everybody's goal, they could probably do more defensively too.
You can't put Zach Wilson out there. You can put Gardner Minshew out there, but you can't put Zach Wilson out there.
Just because they got a quarterback doesn't mean they don't still need one.
Yeah.
We'll be right back on the Lombardi Line, resetting with Hour 2 in a moment.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome into Hour 2 of the Lombardi Line, presented by DraftKings, live on VSiN and DraftKings Network. We're in downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. Stormy Bonatoni with you alongside Amber Theo Harris today, because as Michael is making the trek from New Jersey out here to Vegas, he's going to be with us all week for our draft coverage. Amber was kind enough to stop by before she hits the road to Detroit to be in person covering the draft for the Raiders. Longtime NFL Network personality, you are locked and loaded on all things NFL, and we so appreciate you joining us.
I'm so glad to be here. I'm excited about this draft. Detroit's not lovely this time of year. I hear it's freezing, but I love talking to these young men, especially in the emotion when they come off the stage.
Yeah, you're going from 98 degree heat to, what is it in Detroit right now? How are you packing?
I heard it's like 40 degrees, I think. That's what I'm hearing from all my colleagues. Bring a coat. Yeah.
Good luck. That is the one beautiful thing, though, about covering games there, is that you have Ford Field and that everything is indoors. And I'm all about domes as a sideline reporter. Give me all the domes.
Very much so. Every time the playoff sideline assignments come out, and if it was Green Bay or Buffalo, I was like, can't we get something? I'll take San Francisco.
Please and thank you. Lots of draft content that we're going to get into over the course of the second hour. JP Finley covers the Washington Commanders very closely. We've talked a lot about how the draft starts at 2. 2 with Caleb Williams going number 1 overall to the Bears. So get his perspective on what he's been hearing out there in D.C. Also later on this hour, Connor Allen, betting analyst of 4for4 Football. Get the lowdown on what some of his bets have been so far for the draft, because he's somebody who talks a lot about how much he loves betting the draft. It's an information-based market versus, the outcome being decided on the court or the field and having referees at play. It's a different thing. But this year has been a different thing with, I don't want to say the lack of information that has come out, but kind of the confusion of information and nobody really knowing concrete firm information.
Here's one point is that we have a lot of young or first-time GMs at the top of the draft right now, a lot of incoming GMs. And so this is their first time dealing with the media. And when you aren't experienced, and you don't know who to trust, you aren't as comfortable, you're going to keep it close to the vest. So I think that's why we're not seeing, look, Adam Schefter might not have the relationships or the Ian Rappaport quite yet with those GMs. And so maybe the GMs aren't giving as much information quite yet because they don't have those relationships. So that it could be as simple as that. It also could be we're in the age of misinformation and misdirection, and they're having a little bit of fun with it, especially the veteran GMs have become very good at that. Mm-hmm. The Les Needs, the Tom Telescos, they're great at that.
Sure. And then you have like an Elliot Wolf who's doing this for the first time, who's saying that he wants an unprecedented type of a haul if he's going to move off of that number 3 overall pick, which leads us to the way that we're going to kick off this hour with a special draft edition of No Way or No Doubt. Roll that open.
Do you disagree with these takes?
No way.
No way.
Or do you approve?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. No doubt, my mind.
No diggity, no doubt.
It's time to ask Michael Lombardi, No Way or No Doubt.
We're asking Amber Theo Harris like today. Isn't that fun?
You had a little Clueless, you had a little Black Sheet in there. That was pretty cool.
All for it. Yeah. And let's start with that number 3 overall selection. The New England Patriots, Elliot Wolf holds the pick. No Way or No Doubt, Amber. The Patriots must take a quarterback with the number 3 pick.
No way. I don't think that's a lock by any means. And it all depends on who is still available at number 3. I think if Jaden Daniels comes down to number 3, if he is still there, all of a sudden the floodgates are opened and Elliot Wolf is going to be fielding a lot of calls and it's going to become very enticing. Now, I do say no doubt so they will leave the first round with a quarterback.
Okay, see, this is the information that we need here. Now, if Elliot Wolf is picking up the phone, Jaden Daniels is available at 3. No way or no doubt, the Raiders are extremely live to trade up to the number 3 pick to take Jaden Daniels.
No doubt. I think the Raiders have a tremendous interest because of the Antonio Pierce connection. I think he would fit the type of offense that Luke Getsy and the Raiders are trying to put out there. And he says he wants to be a Raider. So all of a sudden, they do have people say, oh, do they have the capital? Yes, they have the capital. They have a first round and a second round this year. And then they could give up their 2025 and 2026, which I think is what it's going to cost. That's why it should be enticing for the Patriots. But the Raiders could very much be live and get their guy, Jaden Daniels, at number 3.
You talk a lot to not only, executives, coaches, but the players as well a lot. And you have a great relationship with Devontae Adams. Not that he has pull or sway in this situation, but I'm sure he's made his opinions known on what he would like the Raiders to do with the pick. What have you heard from Devontae?
And look, I think your star receiver does have a voice, maybe not a say, and they do listen. And Devontae told me back in January when I asked him, I kind of said under the table, I said, hey, I saw him at the Super Bowl. I said, should we get you to a team where you can really win a championship like this year? And he was like, no, I want to stay here. Like, I wanted to be a Raider. I want to stay here. And he said, if they get Jaden Daniels, then that would make me happy. That is a quarterback that I want to play with. And I said, did you tell them that? And he was like, yeah, I've made. And then he went on a podcast with me and James Jones, our podcast, and said that. He's like, I like Jaden Daniels a lot. And he kind of brought up to the brass, hey, I told Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler last year that I love CJ Stroud. I got to know him a little bit before the draft. I said, he is the guy. Can we go up from number 7 and get him? Of course, they ignored him. Both of those guys are gone. There was a regime change. Maybe their jobs would have been saved if they went up to get CJ Stroud. But Devontae Adams knows talent, and he knows as a receiver who he wants a quarterback, and Jaden Daniels is his guy.
Look out, scouting department. Devontae Adams coming for your job as well as being wide receiver.
He knows
the
what he's talking about. Yeah.
Okay. We talk so much about offensive players and how much they are going to dictate the outcome of the draft. But let's talk defense here for a moment. No way or no doubt, we will see more than one defensive player taken in the top 10. Could that happen?
Could it happen? Yes, but I'm going to say no way if I have to pick one, because it is so offensive heavy. We're going to see quarterbacks, I think, go 1, 2, and 3 for sure, maybe 4. So that only leaves 6 spots. And then you've got game-changing receivers and franchise-changing offensive linemen. As I said before, I really see the Falcons going maybe edge with Dallas Turner in the top 10. But barring, you know, a trade where another team moves into that top 10, as I see it right now, I don't see more than one player going, maybe 2 at the most.
If you are GM Theo Harris, would you take Dallas Turner or Liatu Latu?
Man, Dallas Turner, you know, coming out of the SEC, that type of experience, you can't underestimate that. But I like Liatu Latu because I like guys with high motor, high emotion, don't take a snap off. The way that he turns the corner on the edge and can get after the quarterback. I might take Liatu Latu, and I think I'm in the minority on that one. That's a toss up.
I love it. Plus money prices for him to be the first defensive player off the board, and plus 145 for him to be a top 10 pick. Just throwing it out there.
We
anticipate, because of the number of quarterbacks that could potentially go off the board, the wide receiver depth, the offensive line depth, that we're going to have a record number of offensive players to go off the board in the first round. That's what the anticipation, but no way or no doubt to you, will we see 20 plus offensive players off?
I'm gonna go out on a limb and I'm going to say no doubt. I think that could happen. I have never seen an offensively stacked draft like this. And at key positions, you know, quarterback, wide receiver, offensive line, build your team. Edge rushers, build your team. Corners can build your team as well. But I don't think they're going to go until the bottom third of the first round. So I could see 20. I could see 20 right around there going in the
first. Prop for offensive players selected in the first round is 21.5. The over is a plus money price, though, plus 140. It's juiced to the under.
I would go under.
Okay.
I would go under on that one. Because, like, we go back to this talent evaluator thing. We sit here and we have a lot of fun. Offense is sexy and fun, but defense wins championships, and these executives know that, and they're not going to pass up on. They're not going to leave some of these players sitting on the board, some of these corners and edge rushers and defensive tackles.
Yeah. Michael and I joke about this a lot on the program. The wide receiver over under prop is set at 6.5. He's like, oh, of course they're going to take 10 wide receivers. Everybody always thinks we're going to take 10 wide. We're no.
Under. Under.
No way or no doubt, the Arizona Cardinals will end up using their pick at number 4 overall.
I'm going to say no doubt. I can see them. That's the one team in the top 5 I really see sticking and picking. I think they're going to go wide receiver there. And whether that's Marvin Harrison or whether that is Malik Nabers, I think that's a toss-up. You know, people assume that Marvin's going to be the first one off the board, but a lot of scouts I talk to like Malik Nabers and have them ahead of him. So either way, I think Kyler Murray gets a receiver and they try to build that offense.
Well, I mean, going off of that, Marvin Harrison Jr., no way or no doubt, he's the best non-quarterback prospect in the draft to you. I know you said some evaluators like Malik Nabers. Could a defensive prospect be the best in your opinion? Marvin Harrison Jr., no way or no doubt.
I'm going to say no way. I'm going to say no way.
Who is it for you?
I'm not going to be shocked if we see Malik Nabers. I'm just not, based on what I'm hearing. And also, I always look at the conference that they played in. You know, with Marvin Harrison, you know, you don't play a lot of strong teams in the Big Ten. But if you look at Malik Nabers, the type of competition, the type of corners that he played against, some people are saying, and they like him as a developed route runner, which is really important in the NFL, and a yards after catch. I've heard Deebo Samuel's name thrown out as a comp as a yak receiver. And that goes a long way in the NFL. So don't be surprised. I'm not saying I know either way, but I would not be surprised it's not a lock that Marvin Harrison is the best.
Marvin Harrison Jr. price-wise, minus 500 to be the first non-quarterback selected. Malik Nabers, though, the second shot at plus 300. One more I'm going to hit you with. All 6 of the potential first-round quarterbacks will be drafted on Thursday. No way or no doubt.
No way.
I already know your answer.
No way. It's going to be Will Levis 2.0. Like, we're going to watch some quarterbacks slide down the board because these teams know that they can get a quarterback in the second round. Bo Nix is probably going to be in the second round. Okay. Maybe Michael Penix.
No one's odds in the quarterback market have been more volatile than Jaden Daniels to go number two overall to the Washington Commanders. When we come back, Commanders reporter for NBC Sports Washington, JP Finley, joins the show. What he's hearing about Daniels and all of this quarterback madness at the top of the draft. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
For a limited time, we at VSiN are offering 2 weeks of our exclusive betting splits for free when you sign up at vsin.com/splits. The VSiN betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all of the action, find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets, and where the money doesn't match that public opinion. You can check out not just today's games, but future events as well. Take advantage, though. This offer is only for a limited time. vsin.com/splits is how you can get your free 2 week access today. Alongside Amber Theo Harris, our resident NFL expert, holding down the fort while Michael Lombardi is away, I'm Stormy Bonantoni. And now joining us on the Progressive Guest Line as we continue all of this NFL draft conversation, just 2 days away now, Connor Allen, betting analyst, 444.com, at Connor Allen NFL on X. Connor, welcome in. This is like everybody's betting analyst, draft analyst Christmas. How are we doing?
Oh, I'm great. I appreciate you having me on. I mean, no better time to talk ball. The NFL draft is right around the corner. Mm-hmm. Tons of bets to be made, tons of money to be made. I personally, the NFL draft is one of my favorite betting events of the year. So excited to be on and talk about it.
Well, so with that in mind, you say it's one of your favorite events. This is an information-based type of a market, right? Which typically can have its advantages. What's the challenge been in a year like this where so much information feels like it can be misleading, a lot of GMs and teams keeping things close to the vest? How have you kind of deciphered through all that information?
Well, it's interesting, too, because with ESPN acquiring a sports book, you know, some of their employees have been explicitly told to not say anything, you know, directly about a pick as well. So I think that there's a general lack of information that's been strong in years past. For the last 2 years, there's been a lot of, you know, uncertainty, especially at the top. Last year, Will Levis was the favorite to go second overall for a good bit leading up to the draft. Obviously, that didn't pan out. And now we're, you know, looking at Jaden Daniels to be, you know, a pretty heavy favorite here to go second overall. But overall, you know, I think analyzing the different sources and paying attention to which people have connections in certain teams. So we have, you know, Daniel Jeremiah has been great with the Jets, is something specifically notable. But there's a bunch of very good mock drafts and some that are worth paying attention to, some that are not. So I guess understanding and sussing out those sources are pretty important.
You know what? The reason why Daniel Jeremiah has been really good with the Jets is because he and Joe Douglas started out together as scouts, junior scouts with the Ravens, and they're still good friends. And also, I would always listen to Daniel Jeremiah when it comes to the Chargers, because as the color analyst for their network, for their games, he's a good source. So what resources should bettors and fans be using this week? What information should you be avoiding, I guess I could ask?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I would say that there are some mock drafts that are based in, you know, their own personal opinions of scouting. So, you know, unless someone has worked in the league and understands like how leagues or teams think, I don't really think that analysis that starts with your own personal opinion of a player holds a ton of water unless you kind of have that experience. Because our goal when betting on the NFL draft is to be as accurate as possible with who is going to go where, not as accurate as possible with how good a player is going to be or which player you think being best belongs in the spot. So me saying that I think Jaden Daniels is the second best quarterback and should go number two, I mean, sure, that, you know, that's fine, but I'm not an NFL scout. You know, like I would trust guys, you know, again, like Jeremiah, who I have a little bit more connection and, you know, friends with people in the NFL, and we understand how they're going to think.
By the way, Daniel Jeremiah and his latest mock draft, he has the Jets trading with the Chargers. I just said, listen to the Jets and the Chargers information. He has the Jets trading with the Chargers to go up to number five to get Marvin Harrison Jr. So I take a look at that one.
Interesting. Interesting. As far as top five, you have a bet here on JJ McCarthy to go under that 5.5 draft position. Draft position mark. I am similar with you in that vein, just based on everything that we've heard about JJ McCarthy being a top five pick, which, again, to your point, I disagree with. I don't personally think that JJ McCarthy should be a top five selection in this year's draft, but everything that we keep on hearing and that's been reported seems that that's going to be the case and that a team would be interested in trading up to take JJ McCarthy. How sold are you on that under 5.5?
Yeah, I like you, as you know, met this initially with a lot of skepticism surrounding him being a top five pick. But there's been a pretty steady drumbeat of how NFL teams view him differently than the media. And every year this happens. There's players where the NFL consistently is higher on and the media is consistently lower on. And now we've reached a point where everyone's talking about it. And I think it makes a ton of sense. And mostly because there are multiple outs here in the top five. You know, specifically at picks 4 and 5 here, we have the Arizona Cardinals, who we've already seen are willing to trade down, potentially trade back up. You know, they already have multiple first round picks, so maybe they don't get it done, but they're, I think, very likely to potentially trade out. And then if for some reason they want to stay and pick Marvin Harrison Jr., which again makes sense. Marvin Harrison Jr. is a fantastic prospect. We could see at number 5, the Chargers trade back, who are, I think, incredibly motivated to trade back. They've only been linked to basically offensive linemen, and specifically maybe even right tackles like J.C. Latham or a guy like Dallas Turner on the edge. Like, there are different ways that they can go about it, but none of which are really necessarily locked in top five picks, whereas teams like the Vikings, the Raiders, the Broncos have been rumored, and even the Giants, to, you know, to get ahead of the team like the Giants to try and get a guy like J.J. McCarthy, what most people view as kind of the, like the tier drop off of quarterbacks. After that, you're looking at just like Michael Penix and Bo Nix, who have gotten some first round buzz, but it's not quite the same as J.J. McCarthy.
Connor, a lot of people love Michael Penix as far as one of the best arm talents in the draft, the deep ball ability and a true passer. I don't see him going past what we kind of call quarterback's row in the middle of the first round there. You just mentioned the Vikings, the Broncos, and the Raiders, but you have him going into the second round in one of your best bets. You took the over on 32.5 draft position, so you have him in the second round. You see him really falling that far down?
Yeah, so it's a little bit contrarian. Like, it's one of those things where all the steam is pointing the other way at this point. And so it's, you know, a lot of people have talked about him being in the first round, but I feel like this is almost something that's been, you know, it's like a repetitive thing that we see every year where a guy like Hendon Hooker, you know, off multiple ACLs, was a Heisman candidate, you know, played really well, was rumored again by a lot of very sharp plugged in people to be a first round pick heading into the NFL draft, you know, falls to the third round. We see it basically every year. And so I think that Michael Penix does fall in that category. And given the odds, we're looking at like plus 185, plus 200 to not be a first round pick, I think is interesting because you have Michael Penix with 4 season ending injuries in his career. You know, and some people care about him being a left-handed quarterback. You know, I don't personally think it matters, but some offensive coordinators don't like flipping their offense. Like, that's, you know, just somehow people, sometimes how people look at it. So for me, it's kind of the with the injury red flags and just like the quarterbacks being bumped up into the first round every year. For me, I thought it was a good look here at around plus 185, plus 200.
Well, and that's a prop too, that a week ago you could have gotten plus money on the other way. So it is so interesting how much these markets truly are moving. Aside from quarterbacks, is there any other, whether it's like a player going to a specific team, a position over under that stands out to you that's still available to be bet right now because these markets have been so on the move?
Yeah, there's a couple of long shots because I know that's what the people, you know, to hear about.
Oh, yeah.
Let's roll with some plus money here. You know, forget the minus 110. We'll go with so 2 that I like towards the back half of the top 10 where, you know, most sports books are posting markets of 1 through 10 at this point. So I think there's a little bit more uncertainty than most people projecting with picks 9 and 10. Pick 9, the Bears. I'm not buying the Byron Murphy hype at all with them going there. They drafted a defensive tackle in the second round, the third round, and they re-signed their current defensive tackle as well. So I think that they're going to go with an edge in Jared Verse. And you can find that anywhere from 4-1 to 7-1 at 9th overall. Now, if Roma Dunzo or Malik Nabers are there, I think that they'll be the pick. But assuming that those guys are gone, a guy like Jared Verse makes a ton of sense for me, pairing him with Montez Sweat based on what I've heard. So I like that one at 9th overall. 10th overall is interesting as well. Everyone's sold on Brock Bowers, the Jets. Again, in my mind, I love Brock Bowers. I think he's an awesome player. But, you know, from what I've heard behind the scenes, that he's not necessarily a lock to go with the Jets right away. I've heard that they really like a guy like Fotanu, the interior offensive lineman that can potentially develop into a long-term option on the tackle spots there. So I think that both those, given the odds, are really great looks depending on where you find it.
Man, imagine if the Bears get Rome Odunze, then Caleb Williams would have Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, and Rome Odunze. Talk about putting them in a pretty good position to succeed. What bets do you have left? Give me some of your best bets that we haven't talked about that you're really high on right now.
Yeah, so coordinating with kind of what we talked about a little bit without Bowers, I took Bowers over 11.5. Mm-hmm. I took Dallas Turner overs. Those are a little bit, you know, kind of on and off the board. Also, a guy rising up boards a lot, Liatu Latu, I really like his under specifically, and potentially even eighth overall. I'm worried the Falcons trade out, a decent portion of the time because that's a hot spot for a Dunza or a Neighbors. But if they stand pat, I think the Latu is their number one edge on the board, as long as he's medically cleared, which is a big if. But if he is, which is what we're hearing, then I think that they go with Latu there at eighth overall.
Awesome stuff, Connor. Good luck with all of your bets this week. Appreciate your time and insight.
Thanks so much. Appreciate you having me on.
Follow him on X at Connor Allen NFL, and of course all of the great work at 444 Football. But I what you said about the Bears situation,
think about that.
They have done a really good job putting some talent. Like, in terms of the situation that Caleb Williams is going to be walking into right now, it's pretty phenomenal for a number one pick.
The only problem, and I know we're going to talk about this later in the show, teams that are kind of one good draft away from competing. Yeah. I think don't sleep on the Bears as being a team that could compete. The problem is the NFC North is going to be a bear, no pun and all the pun intended. But look at it. Their defense played very well in the second half of last year. So they have a good defense in a division that has to go up against the Lions and the Packers. And then you have the ability to score points on offense. Look out. That Bears fans should be excited.
That defensive improvement, a big reason why Matt Eberflus is still employed and gets to be a part of this process.
He's got to get this right.
Yep, no doubt about it. We're going to hit the break, but wrapping things up here on the Lombardi Line when we come back. Stormy Bonantoni and Amber Theo Harris holding it down. We'll be back in a moment.